Parshas Beha'aloisecha. In the last Parsha, Nasai, we have learned how the 12 Nesiim of the 12 Shvatim brought Karbanos on each day beginning from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 12th day of Nisan. Now, the only one who did not have any share in this was the Nasi of Shevet Levi, that is, Aharon the Kohen Gadol. Aharon was worried now. Why didn't Hashem also let me bring Karbanos to dedicate the Mizbeach? Is Hashem still angry with me because I made the golden calf? Yes, because Aharon was such a great tzaddik, he always remembered his part in the sin of the golden calf. Throughout the rest of his life, Aharon did tshuva for this sin. When Hashem saw how Aharon was sad, Hashem said to Moshe, "Tell Aharon not to worry. I will honor him with a mitzvah that is even greater than the Chanukas HaMizbeach with all the karbanos of the Nesiim. Aharon and the other Kohanim are going to have a special mitzvah to clean and light the menorah in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. And not only that, the karbanos of the Nesiim only lasted for the 12 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 12th day. But Aharon's lighting the menorah will go on and on forever. Yes, Hashem said, your descendants, the Chashmonaim, will make the permanent mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah menorahs in all generations to come. Yes, that's why Aharon's lighting the menorah is even greater than the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the dedication of the Mizbeach of all the Nesiim. Now, when Hashem told Moshe to tell Aharon about the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, Hashem said, "Beha'aloisecha es hanedos." When you're going to kindle the lamps, those are the lamps of the menorah that stood in the Mishkan. Now we know that usually the word that's used for kindling, for lighting something, is hadlaka. Hadlaka means to kindle. Like we say, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos Kodesh. Or lahadlik ner Chanukah. So if the word for kindling, for lighting a menorah, is lahadlik, it could have said behadlakoscha es hanedos. Why does it say behaaloisecha es hanedos? Well, as our Chachamim explain us, the word behaaloisecha has many meanings. And that's why Hashem chose the word Beha'aloscha to also include the other meanings of this word. First of all, the word Beha'aloscha has also the word Aliyah, something that rises upwards. And this is what it means, that when Aharon is going to light the menorah, he should make sure that he should hold a fire to the wick until the flame rises by itself. You know that sometimes when a Hanukkah light is lit, or the Shabbos candles are lit, it takes time until the wick of the candle catches the flame. That's why Hashem says, Beha'aloisecha, make sure to hold a fire to the wicks of the menorah until the flame rises by itself. Our Chachamim also explain that Beha'aloscha means that Aharon should raise himself upwards, that there was steps in front of the Menorah upon which the Kohen Gadol would stand to prepare the lamps of the Menorah. Yes, even though Aaron HaKohen was so very tall, and he can reach to the top of the Menorah without getting up on the steps, yet Aaron would always use the steps. And even though Aaron was permitted to tell one of his sons to light the Menorah, yet he fulfilled this mitzvah all his life personally with the greatest joy, doing it exactly as Hashem said. Now Hashem said that the Kohen should make sure that the seven lamps of the Menorah are positioned in a very special way. Usually, when a person wants to have light in his house, and he has a lamp with many lights, he would turn all of the lights towards the outside, outwards, in order that it should give off more light. But by the Menorah and the Mishkan, it was different. The Menorah had three branches with its lights on the right side, three on the left, and one in the center, the seventh light. And Hashem said that the three lights from the right side and the three of the left should all be facing towards the center light of the Menorah. That means instead of spreading outwards, like a person usually does in his house, he should make it facing towards the center, and the center light should be moved towards the direction of Mairav, the west, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, where the Arim is. And that is called the Ner HaMa'aravi, the western light. And this would be a sign that the Shekhinah is resting by the Yidden. Now, why was the Menorah positioned in this way? In order to show that the Menorah is not in order to bring light into the Mishkan. It's not that Hashem, who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, needs the light of the Menorah. In fact, whenever Moshe would enter the Mishkan was brilliantly lit up from the light of the Shekhinah. So why did Hashem want the lights of the Menorah to be lit every day? In order to elevate Aaron, in order to elevate all the Yidden. Yes, by lighting the Menorah, that was a way of elevating all the Yidden, bringing them upwards, higher and holier, closer to Hashem. And that's what the word Beha'aloisecha means, when you will be elevated upwards through the mitzvah of lighting the Menorah. And now, the Torah is going to tell us how the Levim were prepared and ready to serve in the Mishkan. In Parshas Bamidbar, we have learned that really the Bechayrim of all the Yiddish families were supposed to be those who are going to serve in the Mishkan. But later, since they sinned by the golden calf, Hashem took the schus, the merit, away from them and gave it over to all the Levim, since the Levim had no share in it. Now that the Levim are instead of the Bechayrim, the Levim have to prepare themselves to be ready to serve in the Mishkan. And this is what the Torah is now telling us, how the Levim made their preparations. First of all, Hashem told Moshe, Kach es ha-Levim. Speak to the Levim and tell them. Speak to them with nice words, saying, you are so fortunate and lucky in that you will be privileged to be the servants of Hashem in the Mishkan. And this is what you should do to them to prepare them and make them pure and holy. First of all, they were to be sprinkled with the special water of the Parah Aduma, of the red cow. This was made on the second day of Nisan, when a red cow was burnt to ashes and then mixed with special water. And this water mixture with ashes of the Parah Aduma is to be used for whenever a person became tamei by touching a dead body. And since there might be amongst the Levim someone who touched the dead body, and if they're tamei, they cannot come and serve in the Mishkan, that's why the first thing that they have to do is get sprinkled with the special waters of the Parah Aduma. Now the Torah tells us that it takes 7 days for a person to become clean and pure from the touching of a dead body. On the third day and on the seventh day is when he gets sprinkled with the special waters. He also has to tovel himself, immerse himself in a mikveh. So this is the first thing that the Levim have to do. It's get sprinkled from the special waters of the Parah Aduma. On the seventh day, they will not only get sprinkled for the second time, but they're also going to be shaven completely. That's right. All the hair of their body is going to be shaven off of them completely, without even one drop of hair left. And this will be done to every single member of the family of Levi, including Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, why did they have to be shaven this way? Well, the reason is because the Levim are instead of the Bechirim of the Yidden. Now, the Bechirim, since they sinned by the golden calf, which is the Avera of Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Idol worship is also called Zivchei Mesim, sacrifices of the dead. And as we're going to learn later in this parsha, that someone who has a tzaras, a leprosy, is compared to a dead person. Now, since the Levim are instead of the Bechirim, and the Bechirim are like Mitzayraim, we have learned in Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Mitzayra, that one of the things that a Mitzayra must do in order to become clean is to be shaven completely from head to toe. So now we understand why the Levim now have to be shaven completely, since they are instead of the Bechirim, who are compared to the Mitzayra. Now, in order to get forgiveness for the Bechirim, who have sinned by the golden calf, Hashem tells the Levim to bring two karbanos, two young bulls. One will be a karban oila, and the second one a karban chatas. Now all the Levim were brought together before the Ohel Moed, where Moshe had assembled all the Yidden. Over there, the Yidden would place their hands over the heads of the Levim. According to some Chachamim, it was only the Bechirim who placed their hands over the heads of the Levim. This was a sign that they're giving over their zchus of working in the Mishkan over to the Levim. Then, something very special took place. You know, when you buy something, it becomes your property. How does that happen? You pay for it, and it becomes yours. When you buy something, you lift it up and take it to yourself. Since Aaron is now getting all of these Leviim as his helpers in the Mishkan, Aaron is now going to lift up every single Levi. He lifted up every single one, waving him up and down, back and forth. Wow, that was some job for Aaron. There were 22,000 Leviim to be lifted, and Aaron had to do it all in one day. You can imagine how strong Aaron was to be able to lift up 22,000 Leviim one by one, all in one day. Then, before the Karbanis were actually offered to Hashem, the Leviim would place their hands over the two young bulls. One was for a Karban Olah, and the second for a Karban Chatas. And after the Karbanis were brought, then the Leviim were ready to start serving in the Mishkan. Now, after seeing all of this, the Yidden might feel that they're not as important as the Leviim, as the Kayanim, that maybe Hashem does not love them as much as Hashem loves the Kayanim and Leviim who serve in the Mishkan. That's why Hashem puts a very special sign in the Torah to show us that He loves every single Yid, that even though He took the Kayanim and Leviim to work for Him in the Mishkan, yet Hashem cherishes and loves dearly every single Yid. If you take a look in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yutes, you will see that the Yidden are mentioned five times in that one Pasuk. It says, Bnei Yisrael, five times. Throughout the entire Torah, you will never find a Pasuk that has the words Bnei Yisrael mentioned five times. Yet in this Pasuk, it is mentioned over and over. This is the same number like the five Chumashim of the Torah. This is all in order to show all the Yidden that they are all precious to Hashem. Hashem loves every single Yid dearly. In fact, anyone who wants can be just like the Leviim who serve Hashem in the Mishkan. As the Rambam says, Loi Shevet Levi Bilvad, not only Shevet Levi was singled out from all the Yidden to serve Hashem, but any Yid who decides that he wants to get closer to Hashem, learn Torah, daven, do mitzvahs, and do what Hashem wants, especially when it means that you're giving up certain pleasures of this world, then Hashem says, Ani chelkecha v'nachlosecha, I am your inheritance, I am your share, and you are to me just like a Levi who serves me in the Mishkan. And now, we are going to learn about the dinim of Pesach Sheni. It has been about a year's time since the Yidden left Mitzrayim. The month of Nisan arrived, and Hashem told Moshe to tell the Yidden that they should do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach just like they did in Mitzrayim. Moshe told this to the Yidden, and the Yidden right away got ready to prepare their Karban that they're going to bring on Erev Pesach, the 14th day of Nisan. One of the dinim that Moshe taught them was that someone who is Tamei cannot bring a Karban Pesach. When Erev Pesach arrived, all the Yidden had their Karban ready. But then, a group of great tzaddikim came to Moshe and Aaron as they were sitting in the Beis HaMedrash. They had a very important question to ask Moshe and Aaron. These people were tamei because they touched a dead body, and they would not be able to bring the Korban Pesach today. And this bothered them very much. And that's why they are now coming to Moshe and Aaron. They said, Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We are tamei by touching a dead body. Lama nikora. Why should we be left out and not bring the carbon for Hashem, like all the Yidden are bringing? Yes, they wanted so much to fulfill this mitzvah. Moshe said to them, You are great people. Therefore, I am sure that Hashem will answer me. Let me go into the Mishkan and speak to Hashem. It was then that Hashem taught Moshe the dinim of Pesach Sheni, that if a Yid, for any reason, was not able to bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, let's say he was tamei, or that he was far from the Mishkan, then he can get a second chance to do it 1 month later, on the 14th day of Iyar. He should observe all the laws of the Korban Pesach, that is, to slaughter it in the afternoon of the 14th day of Iyar, and eat it later at night, the night of the 15th. He should eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah and marer. The only difference that this Pesach has from the first Pesach is that by the first Pesach, you're not allowed to have any chametz in your house. But by Pesach Sheni, one is allowed to have chametz in his house. Also, the 15th of Nisan begins Yom Tov of Pesach, when a person is not allowed to do malacha, any kind of work. But by Pesach Sheni, by the 15th of Iyar, there is no Yom Tov, and he is allowed to do work. Now, as from everything in the Torah, we are supposed to learn a lesson in how to serve Hashem better, Pesach Sheni teaches us a wonderful lesson. Pesach Sheni teaches us, Es is nito kin farfalin. It is never too late. It is always possible to correct things, to put things right, even if one was tamei, or someone was far away. And even if he did it on purpose, nevertheless, he can correct it. But he has to want to, like the Yidden who came to Moshe, and they said, Lama nigara? Why should we be left out? It was then that they found out that they will be given a second chance. The same thing is with every Yid. If we only ask for it, Hashem will surely give us the second chance. And this is also the reason why every day when we daven, we beg Hashem for the geula. We beg Hashem so many times in our tefillos. Especially in Shemoneh Esrei, we ask Hashem, Es semach David avdecha mehedos atzmiach, that he should bring Mashiach very quickly. And v'sechzena inenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachmim, that our eyes should see how Hashem returns the Shekhinah back to Yerushalayim. Why do we beg Hashem so much? Because just like when the Yidden came to Moshe and they said, Lama nigara, why should we be left out? If they were complaining and begging just about one mitzvah and Hashem granted their wish, we are missing hundreds of mitzvahs that we cannot do in the time of Golos. so many mitzvahs that are connected to the Karbanos, to the Beis HaMikdash, and to Eretz Yisrael, and so on. We are missing out on so many Karbanos, not just the Karban Pesach. So if we beg Hashem and say, Lama Nigara, why should we be left out? Hashem will surely grant our wish and send the Geula now. Amen. And now the Torah tells us about the greatness of the Yidden, that during their traveling in the Midbar, they always followed Hashem's directions. How did the Yidden know when to travel and when to stop? Well, on top of the Mishkan, there was a very special cloud of the Shekhinah. During the day, it looked like a cloud, and during the night, it looked like fire. Now, whenever Hashem wanted the Yidden to travel, Hashem would cause the cloud to rise. When the Yidden saw the cloud rising from on top of the Mishkan, it stood up like a pillar, and they knew that it's time to continue their journey. When the cloud would settle back down on the Mishkan, the Yidden knew it's time to stop. They followed this cloud wherever it was going. This was indeed a very difficult way for traveling. Sometimes the cloud would remain in a place only for one day, sometimes just for overnight. And when morning came, they had to pack up again. That's right. They just finished unpacking the night before, and here the next morning they're traveling again. They never knew when a journey would begin, and they never knew how long it would last. But did the Yidden complain a word? Not at all. They willingly followed the cloud. Sometimes the cloud stayed in the place for a whole year or more. And even though the Yidden may have not liked that place, they did not complain. The Yidden traveled in this way for 40 years with their wives and children and little babies. Yes, they were a generation of tzaddikim. They had such strong emunah, trust in Hashem, that Hashem does only what's best for them, even if they don't understand why sometimes they have to stop for one day, and sometimes for over a year. They still followed the cloud of Hashem without questioning Him. Now, as we learned before, that the Yidden had a special signal to know when they're supposed to travel. That is, they followed the cloud. The Torah tells us that besides that, there were two more things that the Yidden had as a signal to tell them that it's time to move on. First of all, there were chatzaitzerais. Those are silver trumpets. Hashem said to Moshe, Asei lecha shtei chatzaitzerais kesef. Make for yourself two silver trumpets. Just like a king has trumpets sounded before he goes out to battle, the same thing, Moshe should have two silver trumpets, since Moshe is a king. These trumpets were only for Moshe's use. They were made out of silver that came from Moshe's own belongings, and no one else was allowed to use it. They were very, very holy trumpets. It was so great that before Moshe went to Gan Eden, Hashem had them hidden away, and no other king, not even Yahushua, was allowed to use them. Even when Yahushua conquered Yericho, the first victory in Eretz Yisrael, the Kohanim sounded shofarot, but not Moshe's trumpets. Hashem commanded that Moshe's two trumpets should be made exactly the same. And before the Yidden would travel in the Midbar, the Chatzaitzrais, the trumpets, would be used. There were actually three signals for the Yidden. First of all, the cloud of glory that covered the Mishkan rolled itself up and turned into a straight pillar to show that they're just about ready to leave. The second signal was, Moshe would announce, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, asking the clouds to begin traveling. And then came number three. The Koyanim, the sons of Aharon, Elazar, and Isamar, blew the special departure call with both silver trumpets. And then the people began to travel. Now these trumpets were also used for other purposes. When Moshe wanted to gather all the Yidden together to the Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan, or when Moshe wanted to gather only the Nesiim, the leaders of the 12 Shvatim, to the Ohel Moed, they would also use these trumpets. Now for each thing, they sounded the trumpets in a different way. If it was in order to signal to the Yidden that they're about to leave, then they would use both trumpets together and make three sounds, Tekia, Terua, and Tekia. Tekia is one long sound without a break. Terua are a lot of small sounds. And one more tekia. When the Yidden heard tekia, terua, tekia from both trumpets, they knew that that was a signal to get ready to leave. When Moshe wanted to call all the Yidden together for an assembly to the Ohel Moed, then the Kayanim would use both trumpets, but they would only sound it once, one tekia, and that's it. If Moshe wanted to call only the Nesiim, then they did not use both trumpets, but they would use only one trumpet and do only one tekia. Hashem told Moshe that the Chatzaitzrais should be used also for all generations, to blow them at certain times. If Chas V'Shalom there is a danger for the Yidden, for example, when an enemy attacks the Yidden in their land, or there is a drought, a hunger, or a plague, and so on, they should sound the trumpets. Because upon hearing the trumpet sounds, Hashem promises to remember the Yidden favorably and save them from their danger. This will also be an alarm for the Yidden to remind them to do teshuvah, to return to Hashem, and then they will deserve Hashem's help. In the Beis HaMikdash too, the Kohanim would sound the trumpets every day. Every morning, in order to signal that the gates of the Beis HaMikdash were opened, they would blow the trumpets three times. During the Karban Tamid of the morning, nine. And during the Karban Tamid of the afternoon, another nine. If it was a day with Musaf, they would sound it another nine times. On Erev Shabbos, they would sound it three times in the afternoon in order to remind the people that it was time to stop working. Then, as Shabbos was just about to begin, they blew the trumpets another three times. Now, all that we have learned from the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar until now took place while the Yidden were still near Har Sinai. That's right, they have never left Har Sinai since Matan Torah. Almost one whole year has passed. It was now the 20th day of Iyar, and suddenly the cloud on the Mishkan rolled up and rose upwards like a pillar. And the Yidden understood that now it's time to go. They are now going to move on further, closer to Eretz Yisrael. That's right. At this point, the Yidden did not yet have the Gezerah, the decree, of having to stay in the Midbar for 40 years. That happened later, only after the spies came back from Eretz Yisrael and gave a bad report, as we're going to learn later in Parshas Shlach. But right now, the Yidden were supposed to go straight from Har Sinai, go straight to the border of Eretz Yisrael, and go right into Eretz Yisrael. Now, one of the people of the Yidden who were there was Yisrael, Moshe's father-in-law from Midian. Over here, the Torah calls him Chayvav, which means someone who loves, since Yisrael loved the Torah and therefore became a ger, a convert. Now, when Yisrael heard that the people were about to travel to Eretz Yisrael, he told Moshe that he wants to go back home to Midian. What? Says Moshe, you want to go back to Midian? Why don't you want to come with us to Eretz Yisrael? Are you afraid to come to Eretz Yisrael because you are a ger? And you know that ger will not get a portion in the land? But Hashem commanded us to love O Gerim. So you deserve our special love and kindness. And even though we can't give you any fields in Eretz Yisrael, but we'll give you other benefits instead. And not only that, you and your sons will be able to live in the good city of Yericho and its surroundings. You can farm its fields until the Beis HaMikdash will be built. But Yisrael did not want to stay. He decided he's going to go back to Midian. I have important reasons to go back there. Not only did I leave all of my belongings in Midian, but I also want to teach the Torah to the rest of my family and friends. I want to bring them closer to Hashem. And not only that, when I left Midian, there was a drought, a big hunger in the land, and I borrowed money from many people in order to help the poor. If I don't go back to them now to pay them up, they'll think I'm just trying to escape from paying them. Listen, Moshe, I am needed in Midian and not here. Compared to you, Moshe, whose light is as brilliant as the sunlight, and Aaron, who is shining as the moon, I only give as much light like a little candle. Therefore, let me go. But Moshe continued to try to convince Yisrael that he should stay. Why did Moshe want so much that Yisrael should stay? Because he was afraid of a Chilul Hashem. If Yisrael leaves, people would not know the true reason why Yisrael left. Some Goyim might think that he left the Yidden because he didn't find the Torah to be true, or because he wasn't treated kindly. Please, Yisrael, do not leave us now. You saw with your own eyes the wonderful deeds that Hashem did for us in the Midbar. We will love and honor you, Yisrael. We will treat you as though you were the apple of our eye, because we are commanded to love Gerim. If you leave, Yisrael, no one else would want to become Gerim. They will believe that we disappointed you. And also, Yisrael, don't think that you don't have anything to add for us. Do you remember you gave me some good advice about appointing judges? This is as we learned in Parshas Yisrael, when Yisrael gave Moshe advice to appoint judges for the Yidden. So you will enlighten us in other matters too. We can use your help, Yisrael. If you stay with us, Yisrael, your sons will study Torah and enter Eretz Yisrael. But Yisrael would not change his mind and left. But Moshe's arguments convinced him to leave his sons with the Yidden. And later, Yisrael's grandchildren entered Eretz Yisrael. And as Moshe had promised, they were given the good piece of land of Yericho and its surroundings. And they lived on this property and had farms there during the next 440 years until the Beis HaMikdash was built. It was then that this piece of land was given over to Shevet Binyamin, in whose territory was the Har HaBayis and the Beis HaMikdash. Now, even though they lived in a very good part in Eretz Yisrael, that had such good soil, that gave off such delicious fruit, yet they were not happy. Why? Because rather than spending time on farming, they wanted to spend their time studying Torah. They asked, "Where can we find a teacher who will teach us Torah?" Now there was a great Talmud Chacham by the name Yavetz. This was another name given to Asniel ben Knaz, who was the first Yiddish judge. This Talmud Chacham lived in a neighborhood where there was desert land, no grains grow, and whoever lives there was very, very poor. It was over there that this Talmud Chacham would teach Torah to many Yidden. When Yisrael's grandchildren heard about this, they decided to move there, even though it means that they're going to become very poor. They moved to the desert. When they came there, they found Yavetz teaching in a big, big Beis HaMedrash. And there were many, many Yidden sitting and learning. There were Kayanim, there were Leviim, and many Yidden from very special families. The grandchildren of Yisrael said humbly, "We are only Gerim. How can we join this crowd of such special and important people?" They therefore seated themselves at the entrance gate of the Beis HaMedrash. There they listened very carefully to all the words of Torah that were taught by Yavetz. Later on, they became outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. Yisrael's grandchildren were famed as heads of the Sanhedrin who taught Torah to Klal Yisrael. And now the Yidden traveled from Har Sinai, and since Hashem wanted to hurry it up that they should come to Eretz Yisrael sooner, Hashem made the way shortened for them. So what would take 3 days of traveling, the Yidden did in only 1 day. And ahead of them was the Aron that had the broken luchos. You see, the Aron that was in the Mishkan had the whole luchos in it, and that traveled together with all the Yidden. But then there was another Aron that had the broken luchos, and that went always ahead of the Yidden. That Aron was at a distance of 3 days traveling, and this Aron would prepare a place for the Yidden to rest. There were also the 7 clouds, 6 of them that surrounded them from all sides, and the 7th one that went ahead of the Yidden, that would lower that which was high and raise that which was low in order to make a flat road for the Yidden. And this would also kill snakes and scorpions that were on the way.